Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. We've been looking at healing is God's will, and we're going to continue tonight. Praise God. I want to believe that you've been doing your best to practice God's word along these lines, because, again, there is no message, no aspect of God's word that is not designed for our good, for our benefit. And 1 Peter chapter 1, in 1 Peter chapter 1, I will read from verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So last week we said the word incorruptible means that which is not subject to failure. It now says, that's the same word that gave birth to you. It says, being born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You ever notice that there's a reason why certain truths of God's word require a lot of repetition? Notice Peter is laying down a principle about God's word. He calls it the incorruptible, that is, that which is not subject to failure. Now, what is he talking about? He's actually talking about God's plan, the Logos, right from Genesis, which God accomplished in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. He's now saying, imagine the time God spoke it, when it now became fulfilled. In other words, God now lives in man because of the incorruptible word. Now, so incorruptible means that which is not subject to failure. That carries over into every area of life. Say, God's word never fails. It's impossible for God's word to fail. Now, the resurrection of Jesus further proves that incorruptible nature of God's word. That means if a man will take hold of the word of God, you are guaranteed of supernatural results. Now, it sounds so simple. The word is available to every single believer. And that's one of the reasons why there's a tendency to commonize the use of the word in our daily lives. Very easy. So, in looking at the subject of healing, understanding healing the God's will, we've been looking at the fact that, for instance, that one of our anchor texts has been Proverbs chapter 4, isn't it? My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. What does all this say? Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, we said, God's word is medicine to your flesh. Now, the conversion process of that which is spiritual to the physical takes place in the heart of man. So God's word is spirit and it is life, isn't it? John 6:63, the words I speak unto you, that spirit and their life. Now, Proverbs chapter 4 tells you the process of converting that which is spiritual, seemingly non-touchable, to something touchable and tangible. It says, my son, attend to my words. And I said something, that the destination of God's word is the heart of man. God's word was designed, or the heart of man was designed to respond to the word of God. That's very important. So if you are doing nothing about the state of your heart, God has supplied what you need to program your life. He has supplied what you need to program your heart. He has supplied what you need to program your experiences. If you think your own word is not good enough, he has given you his own word with his own integrity. Then the question is, why are you doing nothing with what he has given you? Why are you doing nothing with what he has given you? They are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Health to all their flesh. So when he says, my son, attend to my words, he's telling you the only reason why you're not seeing profiting, why you're not making progress, is because there are other things taking your attention. Other things are taking your attention. Many things are vying for your attention on a daily basis. Many of them you're not even conscious. Now, interestingly, it takes attending to God's word to be able to align those things which are taking your attention without you knowing. But other things are vying for your attention, because everything vies for attention with respect to man's heart. And man's heart is the production center of every experience in life. The kind of partner you're going to marry, it will come from your heart eventually. The kind of choices you're going to make, it will come from your heart eventually. So rather than try to change anything on the outside, you change something on the inside. Because it says, out of your heart comes the boundaries or the issues of life. So the boundary of my experiences are governed by what is found in my heart. That's why God gives him, my son, attend to my words. My word is incorruptible. It is unfailing. It carries my very nature. Even that which is a promise or which I've spoken forth, when it gets into your heart, it will produce in your life exactly what I've said. But there's the issue. God's word is one. Your heart is another. You have to go through the process of planting the word in your heart, so that as you plant the word, the expresses that will follow will line up with God's will for you. Say amen. Say, God wants me healthy. He wants me whole. Now, again, if you're far from the truth of God's word, you will think when you're suffering, God doesn't see it. He sees it, but he has done all he needs to do about your health. He has done all he needs. You know, again, experiences and feelings will make you conform you to the mindset that, you know, if God can only come to my room and touch me now. How many of you have been there before? I mean, the health was, it was so bad. If only Jesus can appear. If he just appears, honestly, I'll be fine. You will not be fine. Because it's an experience. And the experiences you are meant to have are meant to be in line with his word. So if you don't have his word in your heart, the experience won't last. In other words, the experience you have will be sustained by how much of his word you have in your heart. Anything can come in after the experience and steal the experience away from you. But whatever is planted in your heart by reason of his word, that conviction and persuasion will stay there, will not become the bedrock of every other experience you're going to have. So when he says, my son, attend to my words, incline your head to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart for their life. And we said, unlike a medical doctor will prescribe certain medicines for you for different ailments, there's medication for headache, medication for ulcers, medication for fiber, medication for different things. Now, God's word is health to all. And it doesn't say God's word about healing. No. Simply God's word, when ingested, is health to all your flesh. It's medicine. Why? God's word and God are the same. If God is life-giving, his word is life-giving. Hallelujah. His word is life-giving. You know, the temptation of Jesus, Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus said, for man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds. That word live means man was designed to come alive by every utterance that comes from the mouth of God. Now, let me say it this way again. The utterance that gave you life is the gospel, the message of salvation, isn't it? You had it, you believed it. What happened to you? Life came inside of you. Now, it says the way God designed man is that from the mouth of God to your ears, to your heart, then you come alive. Where is the life? They are life unto those that find them. So in any area of life also, the principle holds the same way. God's word is life. When you find, when do you find? When the sayings of God become your sayings and there's agreement in your heart, you have found life. Now, whether you find it or not, it's still life. So he says it's life unto those that find them, but it's already life. But the life will now be made manifest in you and through you, not just in health, but in every other area. Mentality is strengthened. Your life is enhanced because something supernatural has come upon the natural. Something from, so to speak, realm above this natural realm and beyond the limitations of this world has come into your space and therefore has elevated your thinking and your approach and your disposition. That's how strong the word of God is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Acts now, Acts chapter 10, one more time. Say, I'm persuaded about God's healing power. It's God's will for me to be healthy, for me to be whole. And if I fall sick, it's God's will for me to be well. God's healing power is always available to heal me and to help me at all times. I never lack the power of God. I'm never without the power of God. I'm never without health. I'm never without healing. I'm never without wholeness. Wholeness is mine. Health is my heritage in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now look at Acts. Why am I saying look today? I think I should get to look. So let's go to Acts 4. Acts 10:34. Amen. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? That's good news. God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent on children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the message went round. So that men will hear. So healing was one way God was demonstrating to men that he had no beef with them, that he had no anger, he was not angry against them. So healing was one of the easiest ways to communicate to man who is limited to his senses that God has no beef with you. So if God heals you without any condition on your part, then God is telling you, I'm not even questioning what brought the issue. Or the health issue. I'm just ready to heal you. And that's how Jesus healed throughout the Gospels. And Jesus is God in the flesh. God was with him. You can say God was in him. So that message was loud. It was clear. In other words, the condition of getting saved was not even given as a prerequisite for getting well. Many of the people who got well did not get saved. They saw Jesus as a healer. They saw him as a teacher. They saw him as a prophet. Very few saw him as Messiah and Savior. Did God make a distinction? No. He still healed them. So we're looking at the nature of the workings of God's power. We're looking at the role of man's faith when it comes to reception. We're looking at the interaction of man with that power so that we can understand and can explain away experiences that do not seem to line up with the truth of God's word. So God sent a word. What's that word? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. So number one, God anoints men. God hardly ever operates in a vacuum. His power is given to men for the benefit of men. Very important. He's given to men for the benefit of men. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, it was deliberately phrased that way to let us see God anointed Jesus in his humanity. That's what that scripture is trying to say. It was our anointing that made him Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. But that anointing that became Jesus Christ. Amen. So Jesus, with the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing good. So he anointed with the Holy Ghost that is power, and the power was to do good. What's that good? He went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now we said, the divine line of scripture is very clear. The devil is the oppressor, God is the deliverer. You must never let that fluctuate in your consciousness. There must never at any point in time arise in your mind the thought that God could be using sickness to punish you. Even when your foolishness made it possible for the sickness to come, God is still on your side. See, that's why, again, my son, attend to my words. Why? Because thoughts will come. Words will be spoken for you to attend to that will contradict what God has said. And your only armor and defense is when you already harmed what God has said. So when thoughts arise, you know you exposed yourself yesterday. You know the Spirit of God told you not to go. See, how many of you have had a check about doing something for you? See, let me see. And its consequences came. Did God abandon you? If your son was asked to return, you asked your son to come back home by 6 p.m. He doesn't come back by 6, 7, 8. And calls your phone by 11 p.m. But you say because he didn't come back, so you won't open the door. Even if it's raining, you still go out and open the door. How much more? If you then be evil. No, to give you them. How much more shall your heavenly Father? So the much more is that, don't you understand that if you have human feelings, God's feelings are beyond human. It's compassion. Compassion is love defined. It will go. So sometimes we alienate ourselves from working to God because we have an excuse or a reason on the inside why we should not receive. We tell ourselves, I did this, I did that. And because you did that, forget that if you don't do this and you don't do that, nothing you have done or you have not done still qualifies you. It has to be an act of God's mercy. And you must receive on the platform of what? God's mercy. So our God anointed. God wanted so badly to heal people that Jesus had to go around. He went around. It's so important. You need to see how willing God was. He went around. That means he wasn't domiciled in one particular place. He could have gotten to a place and made it a Mecca. Everybody that wants to receive this is the Mecca of healing. All over the earth. Just come. But he went everywhere. And everywhere Jesus stood and taught, healing power was present. To show that everything about God carries healing. If God coughs, you'll be healed. Even though God cannot cough. If he clears his throat, you'll be healed. There's something restorative is in God that enables men, humanity, to receive of his loving touch at all times. There's something curative and restorative in everything that has God in it. Everything that has God in it. John's Gospel, chapter 5. Let me read from verse 1. So we'll be looking at different texts, John chapter 5, quickly, from verse 1. All right. It says, and there was what? A feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In verse 2. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market, the pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk of blind halt without waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season to the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus, notice, saw him lie and knew he had been now a long time. Notice carefully in that case, that is that situation. He said unto him, will thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled. So the man was looking to the water. So what is the edge? A man. The water. The edge, the man. Now notice what kept the man there for that long. We don't know how long the man was there. We know he has been impotent for 38 years. Now notice the condition about the water. Conditions that can only be a function of meat. An angel went down at a certain season. A certain season means nobody knows the time. So number one, the angel went down at a certain season, nobody knows the time. The water will be troubled. Then whosoever first got in. Now, somebody started the story. People believed it. Listen carefully. And what they believed was an angel will come down at the particular. So be alert for the angel. What if you are sleeping? What if you have gone to eat? So an angel will come in. I want you to see there's an inconsistency about the faith of man, because anybody that has faith that the power of God is in the water will have been healed if they go getting. Now, let's even assume you are limited to thinking that an angel has troubled the water. How about we all line around the water? And when there's a trouble in the water, 1, 2, go. You know what that means? Don't struggle. Don't push anybody. Just sit at the edge. 1, 2, let's jump in. We'll all be healed. They also believe that it's the first person that enters. Nobody had enough sense to think, what if we all went at the same time? Now, if it's God that sent the angel, this is God in the flesh. And the same God that sent the angel now comes. He didn't place any condition on you. So whatever condition you place on the water wasn't a condition God put. Okay, you didn't get that. Did you get that? I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. It must have been a myth, a superstitious belief system. Because if it's the same God, the same condition put on the water, when he shows up, he will put certain conditions also. But this is God in the flesh. While I'm coming, and that steps down before me, look at what Jesus said. Look at verse 8, quickly. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Look at next verse. Please, I want us to read quick now. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was Sabbath. Let's read on quickly. The Jews therefore said unto him, the Jews again, to him that was cured, it is Sabbath day. It is not lawful for that's all they could see. It's not a miracle that you're even carrying your bed. You were impotent. Now you are carrying your bed. This is what religion does. They leave the major, they focus on the minor. The things are not important. It is a miracle. We know you. You are that impotent man. We should be celebrating. Much more on Sabbath day, the day of God's salvation. You are walking. The question is, how did you do it? You know what happened? It is not lawful for you to be carrying your bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, hallelujah. The same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Now, as we go on, we're going to look at something. The role that words play in the communication of God's power is a tremendous role. That's why, if you're going to be successful in interacting with God's power, you must be very, very careful about the words you speak on a daily basis. We get profit or we get robbed based on our interaction with our words. We actually profit or we get robbed based on our interaction with the power of God with respect to our words. It's so important. Your words form a major part of how you partake and participate and interact with the power of God. Jesus did not touch him. Jesus spoke words. And as we go on, we'll see that many instances, even those Jesus will touch, he will still speak. Why was he always speaking? Because it's a major way of communicating, not just the willingness of God, but also the power of God. So they asked him then, what man is it which said unto you, take up your bed and walk? And he that was healed, which not who it was for, Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. So what Father's work? To heal a man without placing conditions. That's how the Father works. So whatever condition they had about the pool, it wasn't a condition God imposed. It was a condition men believed about the pool. Because the one who gave the pool was standing before them, and he placed no condition. And immediately just spoke words. Notice he spoke words. That's very important. So a man's superstitious beliefs can hold him bound or limit him from experiencing the fullness of God's power. Because whatever you believe, it will be found in your words. It will govern your thoughts. Whatever you believe, it will be found in your words, and it will automatically govern your thoughts. So what stopped the man from receiving was in the pool. It was what they believed about the pool. That was the issue. Now, let me ask you a question. Just think a little bit this way. If an angel will come into the water and stare at them, and everybody that jumped in first, are you saying when you jump in first, all the power is gone? No, just think. Meanwhile, there was no specificity about what kind of sickness should go in. So the power that is just there to eat just one. You know, that is so much unlike God. God is into wholesale. Retail, yes, but also wholesale. Hallelujah. Also wholesale. No, it has something to do with words. So Jesus said, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And immediately. Why? Words were involved. So words play a role in interacting and then in communicating the power of God. Now, let me pause there. Go back to something that we did last. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. So you see, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy was a pastor of the church at Ephesus. And Paul shows us a principle about how the power of God works. Again, you cannot live your life by feelings. Feelings are good. They are designed for a purpose. They are designed to help you interpret physical stimuli. What I see, what I hear, what I touch, what I taste, it's good. As far as physical things are concerned, it's not good always when spiritual things are concerned. So, feelings are good. Let them operate where they are meant to be operated. Don't let them cross over when it comes to spiritual realities. Paul said to Timothy, neglect not the gift. That is, pay attention, don't discard, don't disregard the gift that is in thee. So there was something, Timothy, that could not be physically felt. And Timothy, therefore, was, so to speak, ignoring that ability. Yet it was tangible, yet it was real, that it was true. It was in Timothy. And Timothy, who was a mature minister, needed to remind him, say, the power of God is in me. Say, the power of God is in me. That is not in the realm of senses. You can feel God's power. You may not feel God's power. It doesn't change the fact that the power of God is there. Most of us switch on appliances without feeling for the electricity. How many of you have to feel for the electricity? By the time you feel, things will have happened. Yes. Things will have happened. By the time you wait for feeling, yes. It may be too late after the feeling. So we don't feel. You normally expect that when you put on the switch, light bulbs will come on. It's an expectation because you know the light is. So in other words, the reason why the house is dark is not because there's no light, because you have not put on the switch. But the house is dark doesn't mean the light is absent, because you have not switched it on. So you know the power is waiting to be turned on. Now, Timothy was reminded, do not neglect, do not ignore, don't disregard the gift that is in thee. It was given thee by words, prophecy, with laying on the hands of the priests or the elders. Now, what do you do to stop disregarding it? Look at the next verse. Meditate. The beautiful part of meditation is that meditation in full flow always involves speaking or saying something. Always involves speaking or saying something. Meditation always involves speaking or saying something. In the Holy Scriptures, it involves roaring. That is, an internal conversation comes to the surface. What is in your heart is upon your lips. What's upon your lips is your heart. So there's a constant exchange interaction. And what are you doing? You are interacting with unseen realities. So Timothy, recall the prophecy that was given to you. The prophecy itself is the power of God ministered to you. That prophecy was to let you know, to inform you about the nature of the power that's on your inside, what the power can do. Because on the day Timothy was ordained, obviously, and as we laid upon him, the power was communicated, the ability was given, and that ability contained in the prophecy given, there was a description of what the power would do. In order for you to fulfill your stewardship, to carry out your assignment, these are the things the power of God will be able to do through you. So don't neglect. Meditate on which things? The prophecy. It says, give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. So profiting will mean the service of God in the ability of God within you. People will benefit from it as long as you learn to meditate. So you can feel that the power of God is not present. And again, let me say it this way. We are so many times used to feeling that we negate the presence of God's power many times. I don't feel like God is in this service. You don't need to feel. His word is enough. I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Where two or three of you are gathered, there am I in the midst of you. That's enough. Why is the word good enough? He has magnified his word. I know someone that says above his name, but really the proper interpretation says he has magnified his word because of his name. Amen. Look at Psalm 138. We'll come back there. And verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2. I'm sure we've come across that scripture before. Psalm 138. All right. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's King James. The proper rendering actually says, you have magnified your word because of your name. What is your name? Your reputation, your integrity, your standing. In other words, that's why you have magnified your word. Or your word carries your integrity. It carries your faithfulness. It carries everything that has to do with you. That's God's word now. So that same word now, when given by prophecy, Paul is telling Timothy, neglect not. So how do I get the power of God to flow? There's an interaction in my heart. Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them. then your profiting will appear. So you begin to function in the gift, men will be getting blessed, lives will be changed. So someone whose hands was laid upon him and the gifts of healings was awakened, and you have not been walking in, let me say it very clearly, the power never left you. The power is there, it has been dormant, but it has never left. So don't mistake dormancy for absence. That something is dormant doesn't mean it's absent. Let me say it again. Whatever faculty you have walked in is still present within you. What are you supposed to do? Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly. And you need to learn how, what makes things work for you. I don't want to open to it, but look at these sisters. In 2 Kings chapter 3, we have the story of a man of God among two kings. One of those kings was in fellowship with God, the other king was not in fellowship with God. All right, in 2 Kings chapter 3. So there was war. They were going to war. This other king was not in fellowship. Who had other prophets who used to prophesy? They prophesied that, go, you will have victory. Go, the Lord is with you. But this other king was in fellowship, it wasn't comfortable. So finally, after all the other fake prophets prophesied, he now said, is there not a prophet of the Lord around there that we can consult? Because in those days, we have to go to a prophet. Is there not a prophet? And somebody told him, well, there is Elisha who poured water in the hands of what? Elijah. Now listen carefully. That's the principle in ministry. The one who poured water means the one who inherited his office, who now carries the same grace. So to pour water means to serve. In today's language, we say that it was Elijah's boy. It was one who followed Elijah to meetings. I try to tell ministers today, whatever you covet, whatever grace you covet, is serve it. Serve that grace to come upon you. But no grace comes upon you accidentally. It doesn't work that way. You have to want it, you have to desire, you have to serve it. That's why a grace you're standing by that you have no honor, regard for, never comes upon you. Never comes upon you. I was in a meeting some years ago, I think 2016. I went to city of Akure to go and minister. And the meeting was three sessions a day, morning, afternoon, evening. So while I was ministering, two ministers came to the meeting. And it was later I found out that they traveled all the way from another extreme end of the country to come for the meeting, just because they knew I would be in the meeting. So they told me in the afternoon that in the evening after the meeting, they would love to see me. One-on-one, if I do mine, I said, no problem, after the meeting. So while the meeting was going on, I was ministering by the Spirit, and I pointed at the two of them. I got to a point in the meeting, I pointed at two of them. I said, I'm going to do something right now. I'm going to minister to this lady who was actually the pastor's wife by the Spirit. And by the Spirit of sin, I know I'm going to tell her some things. And when I do, the operation of that grace is going to fall upon you. So when I minister to that lady, the power of God eat them where they were. And so it was in the evening, they were now telling me that that's why they came for the meeting. They desired that operation. That's what they wanted. Desire was there before they came. In fact, it was so strong they traveled all the way. And they believed that they could get it through this particular minister. I hope you understand. They believed that they could get it through the particular minister. And they got it. I don't know about what other people got in that meeting, but they got what they came for. Why? Because of the state of the heart. Why? They were interacting. I don't have to look like it, like I have it. I don't have to look like I have it. If you believe that the hand of God is upon that particular man and he has that grace and you desire it, what will happen? There will be transformation. So it's a principle about interacting with the power of God. Now listen, Elisha came and looked at this other one and said, why are you inviting me? Go to the prophet of your fathers. Let me consult him. Because he did not want to have anything to do with this other king. The king was backsliding. But this other one called him, said, but because of this other king, I will listen. Now, there are situations when a man of God, though he is a prophet, he cannot flow because of the environment. So Elisha told them, bring me a minstrel. Someone that would worship. And in worship, the consciousness of God will come back. And when the minstrel played, Elisha began to prophesy. Now, the thing was there. It was dormant. It was passive. If I let me put it this way, the emotions of Elisha subdued it or suppressed it because he was not happy with the company he was in. You know, atmospheres can control the flow of God's power. It can stifle or encourage the flow of God's power. Atmospheres can. It can. And it does. It does. As we're sitting here tonight, if all of us say, from now to Sunday morning, and on Sunday, power of God will be in church service, and everybody that has sickness will be healed, what do you think will happen? Enough people are saying it. Enough power will be released. The power that's demand. In fact, it can be so strong that the minister will have no choice. But you operate that way. Why? That is the power of words. It's being used to communicate. It's also being used to stir up the supernatural. So, that's the principle. Elisha needed something to stir him up. Paul told Timothy, neglect not. How? Meditate upon these things. Give yourself only to them that the profiting or the power may come into what? Expression. So, it takes words, more often than not, to release. It also takes words to what? Receive. Matthew chapter 8. Look at Matthew chapter 8 again. Look at what Jesus said to that man. Verse 5. When Jesus was entering into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, notice, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. That is willingness, clear willingness. I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. Speak the word only. So the same power you carry in your hands, the same power you carry in your beings, will be exercised by the words that you speak. That's what he's saying. Speak the word only, or words are conveyors of the power of God. So speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, what's with it? See what is his name? For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I said to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. That is, in the Roman army, there's no question of insubordination. It is automatically agreed. In fact, I think the price can be death. So, you don't disregard. Now, he is under authority, so there are people that are under authority. He's a centurion, a man who has command of 100 soldiers. Now, look at next verse. Jesus heard it and marveled and said to them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus said, that's faith. Who is Jesus, the power of God on two legs? And the man is in with that power using words. He said, if you speak, you will use your words, and your words will convey your power, and the power will heal my servant. Just give the command. Just give the command. Nobody hears. I don't know how many people I've spoken to on the phone. And pray for them over the phone. I remember some years back, I had a young boy living with him. The boy had an accident and went into a coma. And for days, he wouldn't come out of the coma. So he kept asking me to come to the hospital. Somehow, I just wasn't able to find time to go. But one morning when I was praying, on the inside, I got the spirit to say, call him now. So I called him. He said, how is he? He said, he's still in a coma. I said, now, place the phone near his ears. And I spoke. And some minutes after, the boy came to. And one of the things that they were not expecting was that his brain should be sound. His brain was sound. His spiritual qualities returned. Now, the same power that would have demonstrated, which is the power of God, when I went there physically, was communicated via a phone call. And it doesn't matter where the person is. It's the power of God. It can be communicated via words. Speak the word only. My servant shall be made whole. And Jesus marveled. I have not seen so great faith. No, not in Israel. What's great faith? In the words that were spoken. In the words that were spoken. And that's why I said, see, in that same Matthew chapter 8, look at verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitude followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, So Jesus still spoke, I will be thou what? Cleansed. And more often than not, again, when you find these kind of situations, usually there is a demonic presence involved. The many times people say Jesus will cast out the spirit with his word. In fact, in that same Matthew chapter 8 that we're reading, see, look at verse 12 again. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto them, go thy way, and now as thou hast what? Believed, be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed when? The self same hour. Now, that means that when the man was there and Jesus spoke, when the man got home, he asked them when he found the servant healed. When did he get well? They told him. It was quite some distance. They told him, at so and so hour. And they remember that was exactly the time Jesus said, your servant is well. Hallelujah. Now, notice, as thou hast believed. Now, in this case, what was the belief in what the man said? So you can say it this way, as you have said, let it be unto thee. So now, let me ask you a question. If you had a blank check today and God says, as you have said, be done to thee. I think you revise what you are saying. You know, we don't take our words seriously. No. If God just appears and says that, what's your name? Moses. Moses, as you have said, before you complete, stop. Can I say again? Can I please say again? Because you know you have said some things you shouldn't have said. So can I clean my account and start afresh? Why? Because apparently the way God designed man is that your word should be your will. So whatever you say that's not your will ought not to be said. Let me say that. Your word should be your will, because God never says what he does not mean. But we are used to saying what we don't mean so many times. Who do you think is responsible? Satan wants to corrupt our speech. We die there. Do you notice that he has become a slander? We all say now. Mm-hmm. There was a time the most common one was like, you're looking so good. It's a lie. That's, you know, what you're trying to say is, oh, wow. What you're really saying is like, oh, why, well, you know, you're like, our language was infiltrated. You say, it's a lie. And then everything's a lie now. And you're like, come on, the people you come and say, it's a lie. You're looking so good. It's a lie. Look at what I got for you. I got your car. It's a lie. And then you're like, you're not saying, but you know what I mean. Your heart does not make a distinction between what you say and what you mean. So you had better say what you mean so that you can say. Because he said, you will have what you say. Notice he didn't say you should say what you have. You will have what you say. Either from Charles Cap said, but my people are saying what they have. I have pain. I have problems. I'm broke. My account is saying, they are saying what they are saying. You will have what you say. He didn't say you should say what you have. There's no power in saying what you have. You already have it. It is what you want to have that you should be saying. That's what it means. But now you're saying the wrong things. You don't want to die, but you're saying that, not die, this so. But you really don't want to die. That's the problem. So God expects that, the way he created you, death and life. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, power of the tongue. They that love it, it means either death or life, shall what? Eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 8, verse 21. Death and life are in the power. That is within the authority and the ability of the tongue. They that love it means that the one you give your tongue to, you will see the fruit of it in your experiences. So it's very important. So Jesus paid particular attention to this man because I've not seen so great faith. No, not in Israel. What is great faith? What he said. What does that mean? What he said. Took hold of the power of God upon Jesus. And that power was administered to the servant who was not even present. Which means the power can operate at a distance. God does not have to know who you are praying for personally. Your faith can take hold of the power and minister to the person. How much more you that are directly affected? Hallelujah. Directly affected. Why? Your word should be an expression of your will. John 15, verse 7. Are you coming along? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Say, I know God is a healing God. I know my Father always heals. Therefore, I receive healing in my body at all times. I catch healing easily. You know I easily get healed, no matter the ailments, no matter the weakness. I'm still confessing, though. I mean, it's something that we, what's your genotype? Like, hey, you people have malaria every month. Yeah, it's true. That's why I'm always falling sick. You are employing words to claim what is not your own. Your body is vile. That's what the Bible calls your body. A vile body, subject or mortal. And you are still using words to affirm. You don't need to affirm. Mosquito will affirm for you. So you don't need to help mosquito or malaria at all. What you need to do is help the power of God do what it's meant to do in your body. So sometimes I catch cold so easily, so I must not expose myself. Since I'm so exposed to God's power, I always get healed. I'm so exposed to God's power, there's no ailment that can stay in my body. This body is impervious to sickness and disease. As you see it, eternal life immunizes me from every pain. That's why I don't have headaches, I don't have backaches. Because the power of God is constantly flowing in my veins. Why can't you speak that way? Since it's a reality that's available for you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. David in the Old Testament was saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation, who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. You know what that means? Nobody can cut my life short. Oh, you didn't hear that? That's what it means, Psalm 27. David was saying it in the Old Testament. The Lord is my light and my salvation, who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be what? Afraid. That means nobody can cut my life short. Even though it was a prophecy about the Messiah, yet it was a prophecy that was working for him in his day. My life can be cut short. I'm not subject to coincidences. There are divine incidences in my life. My steps are ordered supernaturally. And I always know what to do. I'm at the right place at the right time. And the power of God is constantly working in my life. I'm tele-guided by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. All that belongs to me comes to me. I lay hold of all that I need in life. Hallelujah. Things are working out for my good at all times. What are you doing? You are using your words to lay hold of the power of God. That's what it means. That's what you're doing. You are using your tongue to lay hold of the power of God. And that's what God expects of us. So he says, if you abide in me and my words, that's where the agreement is. Abides in you. What is his word? I'm the God that healeth thee. I'm responsible. I'm your personal physician. I'm the one that heals you. So no matter the sickness or disease, expect to be healed. If you believe my word, I'm always on duty. I never go on break. And there's nothing too small, no ailment that is too slight that the power cannot handle. So that means he has placed power at my disposal so that I should take. So my will is persuaded, or I'm persuaded in my emotions. So my will, therefore, lines up with the will of God. I know his words abide in me, and his word has conditioned my will. I will ask based on what I know of his will. It shall be done unfailingly. So you can put it this way. When it comes to healing, the woman with issue of blood knew the will of God was to heal her. For she kept saying, if I may but touch, or until it became an image, I shall be made whole. If I may but touch, I shall. So she used words before she touched. Images were created. She obeyed the spiritual law of speaking words. And guess what? The words were used to lay hold on the power of God. It was as though it was already impossible for her not to be healed. That was why she didn't need to tap Jesus before she received. The words were already in motion. Why? Everybody was touching Jesus. Mark chapter 5. And guess what? We don't have any testimony, according to Mark, that anybody fell. Or there was electric shock. That means the power was there. Nobody felt anything. People were busy examining the garment of Jesus. Some people were busy inspecting his beard. Is he even bearded though? That's true. Is he very tall? No, not really. Check his garment. Ah, is this silk? No, it's satin. They were checking they were literally thronging. And there was so much power present that the woman was instantly healed. That means they were all saying something, but nobody spoke faith. But the one that spoke faith received because she had spoken. So it's as though the word she spoke unleashed the power that was present, the same power that nobody could feel. So if you were waiting to feel before you know power is present, that means you will come to that meeting, you will see Jesus, touch Jesus, nothing will happen. Because the power was not perceptible to touch until the woman spoke words. Hallelujah. And again, that's another principle that shows that God's power is no respecter of persons. In the midst of a crowd, when everybody is saying no, and you are saying yes, the power will reach you. It will reach you. Everybody is saying no, but you are saying yes, the power will reach you because she received it. Go to that Mark chapter 5. Let's go all the way down to verse 30. Oh, I want to show you something. What Jesus said to her. Verse 34. Oh, praise God. See, it's getting better. The power of God is working in my life at all times. I'm conscious of angelic assistance. I'm conscious of God's wisdom in all my dealings. I'm never without God's wisdom. Clarity is mine in all my affairs. Now, so while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, king, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Remember, words communicate image. So, what was the daughter's condition? She's about to die. If you come, you lay your hands, she will live. Her death's process will be stopped. Health will come. That's what she said. So, my daughter is dead. That's the tone of finality. Why trouble is that the master any further? Look at Jesus. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said, be not afraid, only what? Believe. Now, what does it mean to believe again? To speak words? Yes or no? Are he spoken words at the beginning? Yes. Now, look at it this way. You spoke words, and the power of God is working. The power of God is on his way to manifest. Then somebody give you another information so that you can say something else other than what you have said. If you have another information, different from the one that made you say what you said initially, it is even better for you to say nothing. In fact, let me say it again. There's information that will come to you that if you want to say what you said before, you'll be weaker now. You don't understand? The feeling that comes when people tell you, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master any further. When you call upon the power of God, and the situation first gets worse before it gets better, don't be afraid. Somebody said, pastor, you don't understand. When I was confessing God's word, I was in my Bible. That's when the headache got worse. When I was not confessing God's word, the headache was not disturbing me. But when I started confessing God's word, it's about to get better. That's why there's a death before there's a resurrection. Oh, praise God. That's what's happening. So, don't trouble myself any further. Your daughter is now dead. Jesus now looked at the man. If what the man said was not going to affect the operation of God's word, Jesus would not say anything to the man. Be not afraid. Believe. Let me say that in modern English. Don't say what they just said. Don't agree that your daughter is dead. Because what you said that she will live. Don't now say what they've said. Let me say it again. There is no power in saying what is. If what is not your desire. Do you understand? There is no power in saying what is. If what is present is not your desire. I'm so broke. It does not change your status. You are just affirming you are broke. The question is that, do you want to be broke? Or do you want to remain broke? That's the question. I don't have much now, but my God supplies all my needs. According to his agreement, that's a proper statement. I'm so broke is a final statement. The power of God may have been working already, and he cut it short by that statement. All Jairus needed to say was, oh my God. My God, my God. Now looking at the man with your blood, see what you call it. You interrupted my blessing. There's a prayer point in some places. Anything that will interrupt your blessing. Anything that will stand away your blessing. Oh yeah, pray that God will. You now see the woman came to interrupt your blessing. Because obviously the time Jesus spent with the woman was not 2 minutes. Because that was when Jesus knew the condition. And everybody knew the condition. Mark also heard about the condition of the woman. Okay, 12 years. Wow. I mean, I didn't get any better. I was getting worse. So the story was that. And girls are going, oh my goodness. What kind of person is this man? Bad market. What kind of... Who sent this woman? Village people. Why is it on the day that I need him? This was already coming to my... The power of God doesn't diminish because it stopped to help somebody. It doesn't mean this impotency. It doesn't mean this impotency. Even that ask it, receive it. It doesn't mean this impotency. So the only challenge Jesus will have is that be not afraid, only believe. That means the transaction is taking place through words. Don't say what you ought not to say now. You already said what you need to say. So what Jairus did, he said nothing. It means what you said is enough. The power is already flowing in your direction. If you say anything contrary now, you'll cut the power short. Because what you said before your daughter even died, is enough to raise her from the dead. Because you said, she shall live. Now, if you believe she shall live, that's your faith. Leave it that way. They just came to tell you now, and images will come in. That's why feelings will speak to you, isn't it? Yes. Your feelings will speak to you. That's why, see, those people that tell you, let us face reality, don't listen to them more. Facing reality will kill you for your time. See, in this economy, let us just face reality. You're about to go broke. You're about to get worse for you. Don't face that kind of reality. Face the truth of God's word. Say, God's word is my reality. The economy of heaven is my economy. My Father supplies all my needs according to his riches. He makes a way for me. I am never stuck. I'm never stranded. There's always an open door before me. Hallelujah. That's what he expects you to say, so that his angels can walk. Because they hearken to the voice of his word. And his word does not involve doubt or fear. So important. His word doesn't involve doubt or fear. So be not afraid, only believe. Feelings will rise. Thoughts will come to your mind about things to say, about how things are not going to get better. You have to stand consciously against them. How? By not taking every thought of doubt or fear dies unborn when it's not spoken. So the best thing to do is never verbalize fear. Will fear come? Yes, but don't verbalize it. The minute you verbalize, you have contaminated your faith. Never verbalize fear. Will fear come? Yes, but don't verbalize it. There's none of us here that fear doesn't come to. But what's the challenge? It's not every one of us who verbalizes fear. Every thought of fear and doubt dies unborn when you choose not to verbalize it. Isaiah 54, for instance. Look at Isaiah 54. I'm going to read from verse 13. In this prophecy, Isaiah is speaking about thoughts ganging up against you. Isaiah 54, look from verse 13. And all thy children, now this is a testimony of God's faithfulness. In Isaiah, if you really start from the beginning, which we're not going to go to the beginning, he's talking about God's faithfulness. You know, God was speaking about the fact that in trusting him, for your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, your redeemer, the only one of Israel, the God of Israel shall be called. Okay, in a small moment he has forsaken you, but with great mercies he will gather you. In the little rod he hid his face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness he will have mercy on you, saith the Lord your redeemer. That these are the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should go no more over the head, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. Right, so he's talking about God's faithfulness to man. Now look at verse 13 now. He says, and all your children shall be taught. Say, I'm taught of the Lord. Right, so this took place first of all when Jesus appeared. God as a man came and was teaching them. That's the first phase of the prophecy. He began to teach them in Israel. That was God teaching them. All your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great. Say, great shall be the peace of your children. Now look at the next verse. In righteousness shall thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Are these emotions? Are these thoughts and emotions? Yes, they are. They are thoughts and emotions. Now, look at verse 15. If you leave the context, you'll be looking for village people. What is discussing? Terror, oppression. Behold, they shall surely gather. So don't look for village people. The village people here are the thoughts and the oppression. And the say they will gather. That means they will gang up. What is taking place in your mind? Surely they gather together, but not by me, whosoever. So just say, hey, I know. Uncle Dada, yeah. The Bible says those who gather together against me. He's not talking about human beings. It says the real challenge is in your mind. You will not fear. Terror, it will not come near you. You will be far from oppression. It says they will gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Verse 17. So when that says, no weapon that is formed against you, that's where it's going. Where is the weapon? The thoughts that bring fear, that bring oppression. It's those thoughts that the weapon fashioned against you. They will not prosper. Somebody says, why? Your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. So the words you speak, the things you say, are constantly interacting with the power of God or distancing you from the power of God. And you have to be aware of that. Interacting or distancing is with words. Say, I employ my words wisely. I take hold of the power of God on a daily basis. Because images will be formed. So you have to be careful in what you hear. Be very careful. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard. Means that don't be passive about the things you listen to and about things you hear. Many times, thoughts are even planned and you're not even aware. You will not know that you thought I'm planning sometimes until you start taking certain actions and you're wondering, why am I acting this way? Why am I speaking like this? Somebody planted a thought. And that thought was planted and you were not even conscious it was planted. So you are to be a custodian of what is planted in your heart pattern. Be the one that regulates it. Be in control, be in charge. You have to be, and it has to be a conscious decision. Otherwise, you start taking decisions and acting in such a manner that you know that a particular thought pattern is controlling your decision making. If you keep behaving, and you are listening to this blog, and the one you are listening to is always talking about how people are kidnapped and used for occult. Ah. How will you go out early in the morning if you have to go out? You see? Who knows one of the vehicles that will carry somebody now? Your thought has been affected. The enemy has planted a seed. Where you are asleep. And when you're laughing, you're already agreeing with your thoughts and with your words. Actions are taking place already. No. 1,000 shall fall by your side. 10,000 by the right hand, but shall not come near thee. Only with your eyes will you see and what? Behold the word of the wicked. He shall give his angels charge over thee. Hallelujah. Say, I'm far from oppression. I'm from terror. It shall not come near me. I'm taught of the Lord. Great is my peace at all times. Hallelujah. So it's important that we recognize that with what we can connect, we can negate the power of God. With what we can connect, we can negate the power of God. Look at Matthew again. Now this is not about healing, but then it's a principle also when it comes to healing. Let's go to Matthew 8:23. And when he was entering into a ship, disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. In some of you, the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Great shall be the peace. Okay, so disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. What's he making in their mind? We are perishing. They voiced it. Did the thought come? Yes. Was there tempest? Yes. What did they use their words to do to embrace the tempest? So they gave a conclusion that the tempest did not give them. They formed it in their minds. We are perishing. So look at next one. Look at Jesus. He said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of... You feel like... They just woke him up. By the time he woke him, he too will see there's water everywhere. And Jesus is still not panicking. No, you see, not panicking. You know, think about it. There's water everywhere. Shout, water, water, water. As I, how had I saved you? You just see more water. What gave you that situation? Deliverance. Why are you fearful? You are little faith. What's little faith? What they said. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was what? Great calm. The word they used to accept the situation, he used his own words to rebuke the situation. And made the sea obeyed him. Look at next verse. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? And this is second Adam. That's God's man. That even the winds and the sea, what? Obey him. They are so far away from God's ideal of man that they were shocked when God's ideal spoke up. That man is meant to control even nature and elements with his words. Hallelujah. Say, I take hold of the power of God every single day of my life. This year, as it comes to an end, the power of God works for me. It works in my life. There's enough in God to put me over, to grant me victory. Every single day of this year, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I have victory victorious experiences are lined up for me in every area. God's favor shines upon my path. I place my steps in the right areas. I go in the right direction. I enjoy God's power and God's mighty presence every single day. Abundance comes my way. Supernatural provision are my experiences every day. Hallelujah. I use my words in the same way I used to receive the power of God into my life, into my experiences, into my body. I refuse to permit sickness or disease in my body. Will you feel it? Yes. That's why I've seen people, they are shaking under an intensity of fever, and they are saying, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the power of God is working in my body. Now, when you see the shaking, you want to say, ha, see as fever is working. But the person wants to say it too, saying that, I believe the power of God is working in my body. And you must never speak against that kind of person's faith. It is evil thinking to start looking at a person, you that you almost finished. That's how some people are. Somebody is speaking right, and God is proud of the person. And you are like, you better say what is really happening. You better face reality. No, my reality is God's word. The power of God is working in my body. Even if my teeth is chattering, I declare, and the power of God is working in my body. I'm invigorated by the life of God. The life of God is working. I'm well. I'm whole. I'm sound. And God is proud of you. Hallelujah. Because you have stuck by his word. And when that becomes your experience, even those who doubted will come and learn from you. Ah, you were saying in that time, but look at where you are living it now. You are living it now. You are living it now. Do the work when you have the time. This is the time. This is the time for you to do it. Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. The child in our lives now is our mind. The child in your life is your mind. You use God's word to train your mind. And when your mind is conditioned according to God's word, the time comes, your mind will never depart from the truth of God's word ever again. The reality of the word will be your reality and your experience. That is how God expects us to live. I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the living God. Hallelujah. All right, we'll stop here tonight. Praise God. God is faithful. His word is working in our lives. Great things are happening. Great things are happening. Great things are happening. In the name of the Lord Jesus.